Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol. Good morning. This is the Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, brought to you by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the warrior lawyer, Johnny Hawkins. My name is Michael Van Tol. This is Detroit's Sunday morning news information inspiration podcast, and the Sunday morning team is here, but also the original Sunday morning team member, a lady who's a mentor to pastors here in Metro Detroit and throughout the Midwest, from Arkansas to St. Louis, Missouri, a spiritual advisor to elected officials, a resource to candidates running for public office. And we all remember and know of these big annual birthday banquets that turned into one of the most important political dinners in Metro Detroit. She's an icon to the masses. But to you and me, she's a friend that you can count on in the time of need. She's Detroit spiritual ambassador, missionary Hattie Humphrey. This is a rare treat for us. Good morning, missionary. How are you?
Good morning to Micah and to the audience. This is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's so good to be with you this morning.
Great. And the Sunday morning team is here. They'll be jumping on as we go, but we've got two on the line right now, our political analyst, our home care advocate, and community activist, Henrietta Ivey. Good morning, Henrietta.
Good morning, Michael. You know, I'm listening to Missionary, and I just say it is a treat to have that amazing voice sitting in with us this morning. Good morning to the amazing, beautiful Missionary Hattie Humphrey. Good morning to our Sunday morning team, and good morning to everyone in Detroit.
Yes, lifestyle editor, author, speaker, podcaster, Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Miss Mary. It is so great to hear your voice.
Good morning.
This gives me joy to hear our 90-plus-year-old
95, yes.
Here. 95.
And
come on. That's right.
That's right.
Let's put
some respect
on the
radio.
That. 95.
Yes.
That's right.
Good morning to
our amazing Sunday morning team, and good morning, Detroit.
Yes, I talked to Pastor Robert Smith from New Bethel this weekend, and he mentioned her right away. As soon as I went up to him and greeted him, he said, "Mike, I had the privilege of having breakfast with Missionary Humphrey recently. Missionary, how are you this morning? And I know you don't have all morning to be with us, but I just wanted Minister Randall Smith just jumped on the line. Gospel artist, pastor. Good morning, Minister Randall Smith.
So nothing, it won't be nothing.
All right. Well, he's here. Sister Humphrey is on the line. Good morning, missionary. Share some words of wisdom with us this morning.
I just want to say today, where can I go when I flee from the Spirit of God? All of my life, I've been on the Lord's side, and he's been on my side. We say unto our ordinance, in times like these, if there ever was a time that we need to consider who Jesus Christ is, he's been with us and loved us all of our lives and things. Whatsoever you do, when you take the Lord with you, you'll be all right. And in my voice of time of trouble, and he has walked with me. Though sometimes I don't think like I used to at 95, but I want the world to know there's nothing too hard for God. As our young people learn to know that with Jesus, nothing cannot be done, can be done when you have him in your life and in your world. And I am just grateful for him being with us. There's not a time, not a season without God. He brought us this far, and he'll take us on. I want to say to our young people, let me say this. Each day that one lives, if you think about Jesus and what he can do for you, through all your trials and your tribulation, he will take you through. How you know it, Missionary Hattie Humphrey? At 95, he never had left me. Okay?
Amen. Okay. But and Missionary, I want to thank Pastor Randall Smith also for participating in Mrs. Van Tool's brother's funerals on Friday, along with Pastor Robert Smith at New Bethel. Minister Smith, I thank you again for being a part of that service. And Pastor Robert Smith, he turned over everything to you. You were just supposed to sing a couple of songs during the service, and Pastor Robert Smith turned everything. He said, Minister Randall Smith, you go ahead and you officiate. You do the service. Turned it over to you.
All right.
And
you see, what
job.
Had happened was I walked in there, and so he looked up and said, "Hey, man, what's happening?" I said, "Hey, cuz, how are you?" So we talked. Next thing I know, I said, "I'm beside him." He said, "Oh, you can preside." I said, "Wait a minute, what?"
Wasn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Mama Humphrey, I almost tried to get him to heaven, but some of them didn't want to go.
You held it down. You started before even the musicians got there. You know, people think it's easy. People think, missionary, you know how many times you've gone into a church and had to wake up people and get things moving and, you know, get people to be happy and thank God for being awake and alive that morning. And Randall Smith got out there and just with the musician hadn't even got there yet. And he just sang on his own with no music. But you know
what? Oh, wow. That's nice.
And listen, Kimberly and Henrietta, all these years, one thing I learned from Missionary Humphrey, because you learn when just standing next to her, you just learn so much.
That's right.
Missionary, that I appreciate that you taught me is to be ready. Be ready.
Right, that's right.
Because I, and Randall Smith, you were ready on Friday. You were ready. And I remember sometimes me and Missionary were walking to a church, and I still remember the time, Missionary, when we walked into a church on Wyoming. I think it was with Simmons. Pastor Simmons and his wife, we walked into that church. I did not know. I didn't even, matter of fact, Missionary just told me the church was on Wyoming. That's all. And that's all he told me. Meet me at, it's on Wyoming. And I drove down Wyoming. I saw her car out front, parked up on the sidewalk. And I was like, that's it. I did not know what was going on. I got a program from the usher, and it had like pastor's anniversary. And as soon as she saw me walking in the door, a missionary called me. It was being televised. She called me.
Mm.
I went right up front, and I was able to mention the pastor's name. I read it because I had the usher gave me the program. I said, "Congratulations on your anniversary, Pastor." And then I recited a poem, and Missionary was so happy that I was ready. And that's one thing I learned about Missionary Humphrey. You got to be ready. You can't run to Missionary Humphrey and not be ready, right?
And then I just want to throw this out into, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will strengthen you and take you through whatever you're going through.
Yes, he will. Sunday morning team, I just want you to just, you know, have a conversation. I know she's got about a minute or so left because, you know, even now, Missionary is on schedule. Her driver's going to be coming there in just a minute. They're going to church. And so I just want to just leave it open to you guys to say something to Missionary. before she leaves. Let's start off with Kimberly.
Missionary, you have a wonderful day. Again, it gives me great joy. My inspirational story is a 90-year-old man who did a phenomenal thing. You do a phenomenal thing every time you wake up and open your eyes and preach the word of God and preach and encourage others. Thank you. And remember, as you always tell us, if we're going to worry, why pray? If we're going to pray, why worry? So let's stay close to Jesus, continue to love him, and you have an amazing day.
Look at
Thank
Kimberly. You sounding like missionary now. You sounding just like
I'm telling you.
You know, that's great, great. Yes, Henrietta.
Listen, I just want to piggyback off of what Kim said, but I'm going to add that it has been an amazing journey with you, missionary. I want to say thank you for calling and checking in on me. You know, I lost my mom, and you've been checking in on me to make sure I'm okay, giving me a good spiritual word, keeping me grounded and focused, and letting me know that, you know, there is spiritual life after death. You have really comforted me, and I want to say thank you for allowing me and bringing me. You saw something in me 7 years ago. And I am so happy, and it just gives me chills every time I hear your voice because your spirit flows, and it keeps me positive and it keeps me on track. So thank you. Thank you for loving on me, dear mother. And it is always, always an honor and pleasure to hear you sit in with us and just to hear your voice. You have an amazing day. And you go turn church. I'll let them know who rules.
That's right. Thank you.
Yes. Bishop-elect. Randall Smith, I'm going to let you wrap it up with missionary. Go right ahead.
Mama
Hello?
Dear,
mother,
oh, I love you so much, Mama. You already know you got your baby boy support, and you ain't going nowhere, so don't put no hat and coat on thinking you're going to run because it ain't happening. I got a big surprise for you. Listen, you get ready because you're going to the Grammys. I'm getting ready to go to the Grammys,
yeah.
Mama. You're going with me.
Oh, that's
all
right.
Man.
Oh, all right. Did you tell missionary about that your song, your music is really taking off now across the country, and a lot of people are listening to it? We got something going on here. Randall Smith, you got some music out here that is getting some attention. Tell us about what's going on with that right now.
Mama, I just got the song of the Christian Online Community said, Christian Film Online Community said it was the best song, best message for the year 23. And I'm like, okay, so now my godfather, Freddie Guy from the Floaters, he's shooting a video, my second video, October 7th. So, yeah.
And we're right with you at the Sunday morning team. And we're right with you, Randall Smith. Missionary Humphrey, thanks for jumping on. You're the original Sunday morning team. We all came after you. We all learned from you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I'm so glad that you were able to be on with us this morning. Have a wonderful and blessed day, and we will catch up with you soon. We definitely got to go for breakfast soon.
Okay. God bless you. And I'll
all
love
right.
all of
you.
We love you.
Love you back.
Too.
Remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. All right.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Missionary Hattie Humphrey, Detroit Spiritual Ambassador, on with us this morning. We will be right back. God bless you, missionary. We'll be right back after these messages.
He's a member of the Real Team.
We find him and fix him and flip him. We find him and fix him.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them drippin' with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial health. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers, real estate.
Benjamin Brothers, real estate.
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty @gmail.com.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service. And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is gonna be alright.
All right, we are back. This is the Michael Van Tool Show, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock podcast. But we are working behind the scenes. Let me tell you, I got a new team that is working on getting us back on the Praise Network. And we have met with the Beasley Network, I think twice now, putting something together. And as soon as we sign a contract, I will let the Sunday morning team know. All I can say right now is we are in talks, conversations with Beasley to go back on the Praise Network. So we're working on it. I'm hoping to make an announcement sometime during the winter so that I'm trying to get a start date of January, the first Sunday in January, but I will keep you up to date on that. So I'm excited about that. And we're working on it. And of course, this morning, news, weather, commentary. This great missionary Hattie Humphrey was on this morning, but we got news and commentary next. You know, I don't know why these networks, when they have the former president, Donald Trump, on the show, be careful. You know he's going to lie. You know he's going to talk all this stuff. And, you know, the other day, a few months ago, CNN had a town hall and with featuring Donald Trump, and they did not handle him properly, and heads rolled at CNN because of the fact that you cannot just let him talk. You cannot just let mm-hmm. him lie. And it happened again on Meet the Press. And the new host of Meet the Press, Chris Welker, she had Donald Trump on about a week and a half ago, and she failed to check him, and he sat there and lied. So they tried to do it again, and she did not meet the moment. She kind of failed at this whole thing again. She allowed – Kristen Welker allowed Trump to make a number of statements untethered to reality on a range of critical issues without any pushback. Trump, a rapid-fire lie machine. I'm just reading what it says. This is not my words. The article says mm-hmm. Trump, a rapid-fire lie machine, did his usual song and dance. He lied about the election. He lied about the insurrection and a number of other lies. He lied about pretty much every topic that they talked about, and through it all, Kristen Welker seemed ill-equipped to handle. They know how he is. Be ready when Donald Trump comes on your show. You got to mm-hmm. check him, because now, if you notice, and by the way, Commissioner McCormick and I went out to local 900 with the UAW strikers, and we went out, our office mm-hmm. went out, and we were on the picket line. We're going to post some of those pictures this weekend, but they gave me a picket sign. This is the first time I ever held a picket sign. This is the first time mm-hmm. I ever did any type of protest. So we went out, held our picket signs up for the UAW to show our support. And Donald Trump is coming to Michigan this week to meet with the UAW. Thank God Joe Biden decided to do the same thing. You cannot let Donald Trump hijack a topic, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's because he doesn't – it's just a photo op for him. He doesn't – he's not serious about this stuff. This is just for this is just for campaigning. That's all it is. So
that's all it is.
Yes. A father of two died after an incident at an NFL game. He was punched in the face. There was a fight in the stands, and he was punched in the face by a fan from the from an opposing team. Dale Mooney, 53 years old, was treated at the scene by paramedics and rushed to a hospital after what had been described as an apparent medical event, but he was pronounced dead shortly before midnight, according to the New York Post. The incident occurred at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, south of west of Boston, between the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. Between the two NFL, at an NFL game, they were fighting. But I understand there have been quite a few fights recently at NFL games. A spectator has now claimed that he witnessed a physical altercation between Mr. Mooney and another fan. The Dolphin fan walked over and punched him in the face, knocked him out, and he just dropped to the ground and unfortunately was not able. The article says he never regained consciousness after being punched in the face. You know, those punch a punch to the face or the chest can one
you know that could be
punch,
very fatal.
It one punch it can be fatal, and apparently that's all it took. But you know these games are getting people take you know they're taking this stuff too seriously. It ain't about all that.
Yeah.
Now this guy has got
like,
his wife.
No, go ahead, honey. I was just going to say, it just seems like, you know, they're taking it to her like they're getting, like, the money coming out of their pocket. Like, you hit somebody or what? Like, I know, you know, it's part of the ambiance, it's part of the thrill when you get there, you scream and you trash talking each other. But to the point where you literally walk over and you physically kill somebody over what? Because I'm just blown away. Now, like you were going to say, you know, a mother without a husband, a child without a father.
But this is rampant across society in general.
Really, it
we
is.
See it when people are driving. We see it when people argue with other people in the store. You know, somebody's giving service. How many times have you been in a fast food line now and you see people arguing back and forth from the window to the parking lot? And it's just ridiculous. You really can't get away from it. I was out last night and my husband and I were going to a restaurant. And you had to have reservations. There was a lady, I guess, who was in line behind us. Her husband asked to go to the bathroom. The usher or the person that was at the door, the host, he was a gentleman, told the gentleman he could go to the bathroom. So the lady tried to push her way in, and he grabbed her and said, "No, stop. You're being rude. You have to have a reservation." She felt entitled, and she started arguing with him. And I thought, ooh. I said, it's getting ready to be ugly. But it's one of those things you just start to expect it when people start doing things.
Unfortunately, we live in a society now where you can't even go out and enjoy yourself at a game, at a restaurant, going to the store. Something as simple as just, you know, minding your own business and get caught up in somebody.
Right.
So, or the fact that somebody, like last week, I was out with some friends, and this lady just kept looking at me. I mean, she was looking at me like she was ready to fight. And so my friend was like, "Do you know her?" I'm like, "Not at all. Maybe I look like somebody she thinks she knew." And I mean, you could see her breathing had changed. It became more labor. One of her friends must have whispered something to her, and then she kind of, you know, pet her arm. And they just kind of went on about their business. But I'm looking like, do this lady know me? Do I look like somebody she knew? Because Wow, I mean, she was ready. She was ready for confrontation. And I stood and I'm looking. I kind of looked at her with my friendly smile, like, you know, kind of figuring out, you know, but in my head, like, why is she looking at me like she's ready to fight? I mean, she was.
You don't know
where
people's minds are.
I don't know what's going on in
people's
heads. It was a scary moment.
Look, I was riding down my street one day, and this car just was behind me, sped up right up on my butt, and then I pulled over. He pulled up right next to me, rolled down his window, and he said, "Do you have another car?" I guess he must have mistaken me, but he saw me riding, you know, and he wanted to know if I said, "No, this is the only car I got." And then he just sped off. And I'm like, okay, he mistaked me for somebody
else.
He's
ready.
And I could tell his right hand was on the seat in his car. I think he had a gun. And he was looking for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have looked like him. And I could see the fire in his eyes. He was angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I just dodged the bullet there. I didn't know what was going on because I was two blocks from my house driving down, and then all of a sudden this car just turned down a street, rode right up on me, and then came up on the side of me. So I had to pull over, and that's when he started talking to me, rolled down his window. I was like, I just knew any minute he was just going to pull a gun because I could tell he was driving with his left hand and his right hand was on the seat. And when he pulled up on me, so I don't know what that is. You don't know what kind of
somebody.
State people in. And then this road rage out here, that's another thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
The road rage is crazy. And Cameron was learning how to drive. That was the biggest thing I was worried about. And I kept telling them, like, if you change your lanes, don't just cut in front of somebody. Put your signal out.
Right.
Don't give them some space. Don't ride up on them, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Don't crowd their space because they're going to think you cut them off. They're going to think they just people living in a whole little world, and you don't know what they're going
through. In their own head. Yes, they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just living in the society right now where people are on edge. They're tense. They're angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad about something.
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much
I saw
so.
An article
just
also
like Donald
that,
Trump is very angry every time you hear him open his
every
mouth.
Every time you see him, he's so angry.
That
man, he's unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
And the world
he
needs
is.
To know that he's really unhinged. He's waiting on the opportunity to finish what he started. And he's not going to – it's like a person who's scorned. They got to get their lick in. He's at a point where he's got to get his lick in. Somehow, some way, he's going to keep brewing and spewing these lies about I'm still your president and Joe Biden is not the real president. He's going to spin it any way he can. And it is
up
to people in society with sense enough to understand that this man is unhinged and please stop paying attention. I would feel like they need to stop giving him any media press. Like, you know, we
I
have
agree,
these national
Henry,
networks.
I know.
Lies.
I know.
Right.
Don't give him any.
It's crazy because the more they give him press, the stronger he's getting.
Yep.
Right, and
then
he's doing the same thing over and over again. It's like we haven't learned. And nobody, and I'm not saying that any of the journalists who sat with him could have controlled him. I don't think anybody really can because he talks over people. And so at a certain point in time, if you're doing an interview, especially if you're trying to be professional and this is your job, it is hard to not talk over somebody and then be considered rude because then it comes back on you. And so it's like, just don't give him a platform anymore. He's how many states are we talking about? How many indictments are we now? Why are we still giving him any
guidance
whatsoever?
He has 91 charges, 4 indictments, 91 charges. Yes, 91.
Right. Why is he meeting with the UAW? For what?
Right.
Well, what? He didn't even believe in them when he was in office. He thought that, you know,
exactly.
He didn't even support the UAW. This is the funny part. Like, you didn't even support the UAW. How many UAW meetings did you go to that actually supported the workers? Not a one that I can remember. Now,
not
he met
one.
With all the Chrysler big heads, all the CEOs and CFOs.
Sure
he never met with those workers.
Mm-mm, not at all.
Right.
He is like Tim Scott, what Tim Scott said either Friday or Saturday morning. I think it was Friday morning. He said they all should be fired. He said we got an example in how President Reagan handled the air traffic controllers. Now, I always want to tell people, I said, you all need to hear him when he said that, and you need to remember
mm-hmm.
that. This is why we have
mm-hmm.
the problems with air traffic control
mm-hmm.
or air travel industry as a whole. They fired all those
mm-hmm.
people, and when they fired it, all the institutional knowledge left with those people, and that's why we
mm-hmm.
have so many of the problems that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do the
mm-hmm.
same thing, hear me, if they do the
mm-hmm.
same thing and fire all of these people, that becomes the precedent. The cars that you drive, you think that they're bad now?
Mm.
Oh. Mm. I pray for people.
I said it, Kim. I said
the
same thing. I said they're going to, if they even think about doing something outside of the knowledge that they have on those picket lines, people cars are going to
yes,
be
right.
exploding, tires are going to be popping off, engines are going to be dropping to the
yep.
ground. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be a lot of fatalities in these cars if they do not keep the people that, the knowledge, the people who's been making these cars sick, who know how to build that car out. You can't replace knowledge with somebody, with a machine.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
Mm-mm.
You can't.
Mm-mm.
And they're trying to move into this robot, this IE way of things
AI.
Getting done.
AI.
And this is what the problem is. They figure if we can get machines to build the cars, we ain't got to pay nobody. But see, how
right.
Right now you're setting up the world for a different kind of poverty. So now you're going to have people who
mm-hmm.
spend 30, 20, 30, 15, 10, 5, or whatever years of their lives on these lines building these cars. And now you want to snatch them jobs because they're asking you for money, and you just got a big billion-dollar bonus. You are making
$29 million
a year.
Mm-hmm.
And all of
mm-hmm.
up in the millions, the multi-millions, double-digit million,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying,
mm-hmm.
well, if we give every worker $40 an hour, we're going to go broke. You know what's going to happen? Me and Andre Otis, we talk a lot about these issues. We both said only when things going to go broke is they got to dig in their pockets. They're not going to have enough money to put in their multi-million-dollar yacht. Or how dare you to spend, you know, take out of your $1.8 million gas bill to fill up your yacht to give it to a worker to take care of their family. Oh, my God, that's a truck. Oh, it's a travesty if we do this. Oh, my God, am I going to be able
mm-hmm.
to go and buy more items if we pay these workers $40? Because you're making multi-billions a year. So you got money sitting
mm-hmm.
in these accounts. You ain't even spent yet. Who are you giving it to? Y'all putting it in y'all pockets. Yeah, you want to holler, but we got to cut the profit sharing, and we can't be able to give the stock bonuses. Yes, you can, because these people have made you billions already. And with these CEOs and CFOs are not understanding this, people know how to read. I got
mm-hmm.
the feeling sometimes they think that folks are stupid, and they can't understand
they
contracts, or they don't understand the language. These workers understand everything about it. And see, that's when they're messing up, that because they think the workers, because they do that work, they can't be that bright. So we can just say what we need to say. And they'll just be like, oh, well, they don't
uh-huh.
understand. They understand. And that's where they, you know, it really fires me up being an activist on the behalf of people and what the community needs. This is part of what we do as activists. You cannot sit up here and tell a worker you can't afford to pay them when we know you can't. Just like the fast food industry and the healthcare industry, all these CEOs, CFOs, presidents of these large corporations and companies really think the worker is uneducated to the things that they're doing. And then they want to come and spin it to make it seem like, you know, we're not the bad guys. You know, we really can't give it. We see your bottom line number. These folks know how to read. They understand contracts. What do you think they have stewards and presidents for over these unions? Because it keeps the worker in. So it really bothers me that people like Donald Trump is out here spearing lies, and you got people out here like Tim Scott or out here spearing lies and putting the workers at risk of losing their jobs. And you're talking about firing people who have the knowledge to build the car. That's for putting people at risk who drive these cars. I just don't understand
exactly.
the spiritual logic behind these people, because in my view, you don't have a spirit where you're talking about firing everybody and replacing them with some people who don't know what they're doing just so you can build a car and so you can make more
mm-hmm.
money. and you're going to put other people's lives in danger. You are spiritless.
What they're saying is that a lot of the auto workers can't even afford most of the vehicles that they're building now. And that was the problem when Ford first started making cars a long, long time ago. He wanted, you know, Henry Ford said that he wanted to make sure that his workers were able to afford the cars that they built. We've gone full circle now to the point where a lot of the people who are working, building these cars can't even afford it. You know, some of these SUVs, Wagoneer,
$90,000.
Start at $73,000. Big old SUVs start at $73,000 and go up from there. You know, Mary Barra, who runs General Motors, you know how much she makes every year?
$29 million.
She was the one I was speaking of and talking about. They can't afford it. Yeah, her.
Right.
$29 million a year.
Let me add this to it because I had a conversation because I didn't understand. And I had grandparents and great-grandparents that worked at the plant, and they all had wonderful lives and made great livings and were able to educate my parents and do all of that. And I was talking to somebody, and I said, but it's at the plant. Because my generation, or at least in my family, we were encouraged to not work at the plant. We were encouraged to go to school and do something different. And I didn't quite understand. I said, okay, well, what's so good about working at the plant besides the money that you make? And so we hear all the negatives that people say. But I want people to think about it this way. If, and I'll give this example because this is the example that was given to me. If your job is to put the dashboard in into a vehicle, and that's what you do for 8 to 10 hours a day, that means that dashboard has to be put in exactly the way that it is supposed to be so that all the gadgets and devices, the odometer, the mileage, the gas, rear, all of that, the radio, everything can fit where it's supposed to be. And you have to do that continuously over 8 hours, and it has to be perfect. It is precision work. Yes, for some, it can be mind-numbing for others, you know, because you're doing this repetitive job. But it, you have to do it at such a perfect and precise way that if you mess up even an inch that it's over, then it throws the whole thing off and it messes up the line. So you have to think about these people who are working these lines, who are managing this machinery, these parts, or whatever it is. They are doing something almost to the extent of being a computer or the AI, but in form. They are doing a job where they're ensuring that your product comes out the way that it's supposed to. Now, people will say, well, now we have recalls. Well, that's because now we're learning from lawsuits and different things. Nobody wanted to handle it on the front end when it was coming through the line the first time. They just said, put the product out. We'll recall it because it's cheaper to recall it. I want people to think about when you go into the grocery store, when you go to Rite Aid or CVS or any of these places and they have a self-checkout line. Yes, it makes it easy and convenient, but guess what? That's a job that someone has lost. So when people are at McDonald's saying, I need $15 an hour, where do low-skilled people go? If you don't have the education and the skills, where do you go? Jesus said in the Bible, you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me with you. We have to remember there will always be poor people. We're going to have something for low-skilled people. Everybody can't make $29 million. We can't just have a room full of CEOs. Somebody has to make the product. We need to compensate people for that product. Just like we have to give people time off, we have to give them health care because as we see on every commercial now, if you worked here, if you worked with asbestos, if you did this, if you did that, now you're entitled to compensation. Everybody's getting sued for everything. And so, again, we have to remember who the workers are. These are the people that fuel this country. It is not the CEOs, and this is not a rant against the CEOs. This is not a rant against leadership. We need both. We need the leader to be able to direct the company to where it needs to go, but we need the workers to build the product so that the leaders have something to direct. That's very well spoken. That's true. Very well
I do have one more news note, and that is the fact that it's not only cities like Detroit that the rents are increasing. If you notice, all these new condos that are going up are very expensive down on the riverfront, Port Town, Midtown, Downtown. There's a story here, even not just in Detroit, not just in the United States, but around the world. I was reading an article on CNN.com that said that one lady was, she heard that an apartment was available in New York, and as soon as she heard, she transferred $3,700 from her account to the apartment building to make sure that she could secure it. She just lost her last apartment lease because the rent went up by $1,000. The rent was increased by $1,000. So she was at so she found another one, and she had to hurry up and put a down payment on it so that she could secure it. And it millions of people around the world, especially in big cities, have come to expect that there's going to be a fight for affordable housing. In many cities, the influx of workers and students after pandemic has collided with the lack of accommodation for rent. And then inflation is high, of course, high interest rates, and people are trapped in this rental market. It says, you know, in New York and even London, Australia, inflation has risen, and, you know, it's very expensive to live in some of these cities. In New York City, they have what they call, they have these skyscrapers that are very small. I wonder how they're even standing so far up, so many floors up, you know, 80 stories high, and they're very thin, and all they are just condos all the way up. They're just condos. But the prices for them are completely unaffordable. Look it up when you get a chance. Look up some of the new condos going up in New York City, and you'll see that they are very thin. You wonder, you know, if there's a windstorm or something.
Blow it over.
Right.
Yeah. And
right. Well, you know, they have one they're building up downtown right now, and it's $4,000 a month for this new high-rise they're building, these new high-rise condos right here in the city of Detroit is being built out, and their rent right now starting out, I guess they have a wait list. The rent start off at, I think they said $2,000 or something a month or $4,000 a month, something, but however – who do they think going to live in these high-rise, high-expensive condos and high-rise apartments? Who in the city of Detroit is making that kind of money where they can go live in a 20-story building with, you know, with the amenities of gyms and clinics and all the stuff on the inside? Who can afford that? You have a building with 40 or 50 apartments or maybe 100 or 200 apartments at a whopping, I believe it was $4,000 or $2,000 a month, but I believe somebody said $4,000. Who can pay that?
I think it's $4,000.
What kind of money is going through your city for them? What it makes you think on the financial issue, I mean, tip. Where is that kind of money coming from, and why is it not being trickled down to the workers? Who is making that kind of money where they can spend $4,000 a month? And so it's for them to build it, they have had to have knowledge that someone can afford to pay it.
Right.
Because when they go into the thought process of building these kind of things, it has to be, if I put this apartment in the city, is there a demographic for it? Because you just don't throw something up expecting somebody to just say, yeah, I'm going to move in there and I know it's $4,000 a month. Somewhere they have done their research where there's that kind of money flowing through this city. But yet we have poverty in this city. So that tells me they're doing the same thing that these Chrysler workers are doing. They're pocketing money and leaving the workers out, hanging them out to dry, and keep telling us we can't afford $15 an hour. We can't afford $25 an hour. We can't afford, but yet people are living at $4,000 high rises.
Right.
We were out last night, and we were just walking around downtown, and this particular place that we were in, because there are a lot of different clubs and restaurants that all have hotels in them now. And so we were impressed with where we were, and so we just sat down and talked to the hotel staff, and we're just asking about the quality of the room. And this guy, he was like, listen, he said, it's nice here. He said, but the rooms are $400 a night. He said, I don't know about you. He said, you just trying to sleep. I'm going to go someplace where I can just
sleep.
What am I paying $400 for, right? He's like, yeah, it's a nice bathroom. It's a stand-up shower, blah, 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 whatever. He said, but I can go home and do that. He was like, you're paying $400 a night. He said, they have a decent breakfast. He said, but we got restaurants you can go to and get a decent breakfast if that's what you want. And it was funny because I chuckled and I said, thank you for your honesty. So we may come back and just, you know, want to experience the ambiance of it. He said, if you got it like that, you could do it great. And so, but a lot of the hotels downtown, just when I was looking at them, and I don't want to name anybody, but most of the hotels downtown are starting at $2.99 a night to $4.99 a night. And I'm thinking, who's paying this? Just stay a night or a couple nights. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you, Henrietta. These people are paying all this money for rent, for views and this and that. But when you go downtown, and I was downtown last night, and it was a really nice night, but downtown did not look like, and I can't say New York because I haven't been to New York, but it didn't look like downtown Atlanta. It didn't look like downtown Miami. It didn't look like downtown Chicago. It doesn't look like downtown L.A. or even Toronto. So I'm like, well, who's here? How many? Because you're talking about a small percentage of the population, because unless all of a sudden there was an expansion of wealth, because as far as I know, Michael, I don't know if your bank account increased because mine didn't. But I'm like, where are these people coming from? I'm asking the same question, like, okay, what? Because where I am in downtown and my day job, the people that are around are complaining, there's not enough people downtown to support one of the restaurants that's close to my office. And they're struggling. And a lot of people are saying that. So I'm like, okay, but people are charging $4,000 a month in rent, and then they're charging $400 a night for hotel stay. It makes no sense to me.
It makes no sense.
But this is what happens when we allow billionaires to dictate things. Everything can't come through the lens of how much money you have. And this isn't casting aspersions against anybody. You know, I love to see billionaires because that means that you've done something. Not all of them, but most of them. It means you've done something, and you've provided a great service, and you've done well for yourself. And, yes, that should be something that we all should aspire to do, but everybody can't do it. So, again, I go back to what Jesus said. You will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me with you.
You're right. Exactly. You're right about that. I really appreciate that we have Christian talk radio, that we have Christian radio stations. I feel like even with the Christian services that are on, I still don't think that they talk about the right enough about the Bible and about living the right way. It's too much. A lot of these things, it's too much politics. Moved into it now, you know. I want to listen to some of the, you know, and there are white programs too, and I'm including some of the white Christian programming. I want to hear God's word. I want to hear good preaching. I want to hear Bible, you know, the Bible. I want to hear that.
Right.
But then they start talking about, then they start talking about Biden. They start talking about the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Where, let me see what, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar, as you know, and I didn't go to seminary and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't see in there where it's picking different politicians. I don't see Donald Trump's name in there in the Bible. I don't see the Republican Party in there. You know, I don't see all that stuff. I don't see right-wing conservatives in the Bible. And they try to mix it in with their services. I don't like that. I don't want to hear all that. I want to hear scripture. I want to hear good preaching. And it, you know, the evangelicals, they just got caught up in all this. And a lot of them are starting to push back now, finally. But the damage is already done. They're just starting to push back, and they realize now, a lot of them realize now that they let all that stuff creep into and dilute the word. It's diluted, you know? But anyway, I was downtown last night, too. Let's get the weather in here before I talk about the Ohio players. I want to get something off my chest, but go right ahead. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Okay. So currently it is 60 degrees. It is sunny. It is a beautiful day. Today, expect mostly sunny skies with a high of 73 and a low of 61. Tomorrow, clouds will return, so we'll have mostly cloudy skies at a high of 71 and a low of 60. On Tuesday, rain showers come in with a high of 69 and a low of 58. Wednesday, scattered showers continue with a high of 67 and a low of 56. On Thursday, scattered showers continue for another day with a high of 68 and a low of 57. And on Friday, partly cloudy skies return with a high of 71 and a low of 57. And next Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 74 and a low of 58. And that's the weather.
Great, great. Still good. It's still good. We're doing good for September 24th. I really have enjoyed this summer. I have made, you know, I don't want to regret when this air comes and it's cold, ice, rain, all that stuff. I don't want to be regretting, because sometimes I do regret that I did not spend more time outdoors. And I did be out this time, and I'm really happy. One of the things was, I was downtown last night too. I went to me and Mrs. Van Tool took a group of, I think maybe about six people, to the Ohio Players. Six of us went last night. And, you know, I said, this was the last time I'm going to one of these old school concerts, because let me tell you, first of all, they do not sound the same. I went to see the Jacksons, too. Frankie Beverly, I mean, the same, you know, they had great music.
You should have been at the Morris Day concert, Michael.
Okay.
We went to Morris Day in the time last
maybe
night.
He's
that concert
doing
was
better
hype.
Than, maybe he's doing better than the rest, but I think the Ohio Players was out there for 1 hour. That's it. 1 hour.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
You know, and we made some calls. We put it all together to take a group of six people out with us last night. And, you know, I'll put it this way. It took more time getting down there and leaving than we spent at the concert. And the music, we could recognize the songs and everything, but
it didn't sound the same.
It does not sound the same. And after 1 hour, those guys were ready to pack up. I thought they were joking. You know, I thought they was playing and they was going to come back out. I saw them unplugging stuff. And I was like, this is not over. Are they serious? I felt like I was punked. You know, I got like, I just knew they were coming back out. They turned the lights up. People's just, they started walking
everybody
out.
Everybody was like, what are they doing?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to no more of these old school. I'll just listen to them. I need to buy me a new record player and play a record.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I went to Essence and I saw Ron Isley. I've never seen the Isley Brothers in concert. Ron Isley came out on a cane. I was like, he's old. Somebody help him. He about to step over and he was trying to sing. And so then at a certain point, I was like, sit down. You are somebody's grandfather. And he did eventually at some point sit down. Like, he danced for a minute, but, you know, and it was old man dance, which was fine. You know, he could sing, but it didn't last as long because he was tired. I got it. I was like, he's in his 70s, his 80s. Listen, Morris Day is 65. I for those that don't know, I am a huge Prince fan. Have been a Prince fan since 1978. And Morris Day and the Time, all those guys, love them. So I had never, ever, ever seen them. They were coming. They were at the Soundboard last night. It was a 90-minute concert, Michael. They had
90 minutes? Okay,
Morris
I went to the wrong
90
one.
90 minutes.
I went to the wrong concert
Morris
last
Day
night.
Came on. About 8:20, 8:30, they were done by 10 o'clock. I said, see, this is the kind of concert. Now, I've gone to a few other concerts where, you know, it depends on who it is. I would say one of the best concerts outside of Prince, one of the best concerts that I ever went to that was a six-hour concert was a Stevie Wonder concert. Now, Stevie is different. Stevie got on the piano and was playing, and he was doing all kind of, because he's like, music. He did a show. If you can do that for several hours, I'm good. Janet, when I saw her earlier this year, she did a 2.5-hour show. But she's older, too. She's in her 50s, almost 60s, I believe. Same thing.
Yep, she's like 56. Yep.
Right.
She's a year under me. See, she just turned 56, and I'll be, she's 2 years under me, I'll be 58. But I think she just turned 56.
Okay.
In May, if
so
I'm not mistaken.
So she danced a little bit. Okay. So she danced a little bit, but it wasn't for the whole show. Now, for my friends that all went to see Beyonce, they were like, well, first off, we had to wait 2 hours for her to come on because she didn't get on the stage until 8, 9 o'clock. When you got to the venue, I think it's 6 or 7 because, you know, everybody had to be there for the experience. Mm-hmm. And then she wasn't off the stage until well after midnight. So I guess it's, you know, which would you rather have, Michael? Would you rather have a tight 60-minute set where you're like, okay, I recognize the song. Yeah, I get to see people I haven't seen, and, you know, they're beyond their heyday now. This is, you know, the reunion tour. Mm-hmm. Or do you want somebody that's just going to give you that energy for 3-4 hours? For me, it depends on who it is. So
You know, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I went to see Phil. We went to see Phil Collins. You know, he did the In the Air Tonight. I remember it from Miami Vice. Remember the classic scene in Miami Vice when they play that track, and I'll never forget that. He came out, and they're coming out and sitting down in a chair now. You know. The Jacksons, Tito, was sitting in a chair, sitting down the whole time. The Ohio Players, one of them was sitting down in a chair. Frankie Beverly, you know, he can't hit the notes anymore. So, but my suggestion, I understand this is not, you know, these artists have been out here for 30, 40, 50 years. So I know it's not going to be the same, but sometimes, I don't know. I do like the fact that the Jacksons brought out a couple of younger, they have a younger Jackson out there with them, and they also have another singer that usually tries to hit the notes that Michael Jackson would sing. Frankie Beverly has somebody usually that, you know, like Joe or somebody to come on And but most of the time they do the sing along with the audience. We're singing most of the songs, not them. You know. But I guess just don't expect it's not gonna be the same. Don't expect it's not gonna be like they were back in the 70s or 80s. These guys are senior citizens now, and they're just you know, it's nice to see that they still they're still there though. Imagine what it takes to perform, the amount of energy that I bet you after the Ohio Players last night, I bet you they were just, you know, back in the day they had the girls, they was up all night. I bet you they were falling asleep on the motor coach as soon as they left on their way back to the hotel.
All of them laid back with their heads snoring, and they got on the bus and instantly went to sleep.
Bet you they were just like laid out, just ready to crash out, and probably still sleeping right now. But it's nice to hear the music, and it's nice to see them because it brings back memories. Because you know, a lot of songs are like soundtracks of our lives. These are the music that we grew up to. I remember, you know, I can just tell you some places and people and girlfriends that I knew long time ago just based on the song, just hearing the song, you know, hearing the song. I could tell you where I was, what school I was in, what girlfriend I was talking to, because, you know, you remember it was, like I said, it was a soundtrack to our lives, you know. But some people still, I guess, the Morris Day, he still got it, huh? He still got that energy.
He does. And let me tell you, he was doing old man dances. He was. So when Prince was still performing before he died, he was still putting it all in like he was 20. And I was telling my husband last night, I said, Morris Day did something Prince didn't quite understand. He did what he could and made it work for him versus trying to recreate what he did 20 years ago. He didn't do all that.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, these are the moves that we can do. We are old men now. We're in decent shape. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody was out of shape. But he was, the dances that he did his signature, him and Jerome, you know, where they do the side to side, they did that. But then most of his dances were like showmanship, which you would see in a show where the moves coincided with the music. And it was cool to see that. And I was like, it's still made for a great show. And people were on their feet. And it was just, the energy was great. Because people, same thing. We were singing, we were dancing. And it you know, I'd never been to soundboard, so this was my first time. So I was like, oh, okay, soundboard is a cool place to have a concert. So it was great to see that there. But I think artists have to remember, whatever age you are, what can you do? Because you are there to entertain the audience. But maybe if you were out in the 80s and you were MC Hammer and you were dancing all over the stage, well, maybe now you're 65, 70, you can't do that because you have mobility issues. I mean, it's just the nature of aging. And so people have to keep that in mind sometimes. And it is hard to see that when you remember somebody as vigorous and you know, young and enthusiastic, and now you look at them, it's kind of sober. You're like, they're old. They probably do fall asleep after the performance.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know.
But I think as the years, you know, from now on, I think people are going to have to start to think, okay, what is the quality of the show? What are you going to get? You know, it's nice, this stuff. We remember it from when we were kids, but at some point, they're all of them are going to be gone. Okay, there's not going to be any of the original members of the group at some point, and we have to start to think. Okay, we're going to be looking at completely different people as part of the group.
Yep.
You know, completely.
Yep.
So you just have to make a decision. Do you want to go and see, be prepared? It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same people. You just cannot, you know, you cannot relive the past over and over and over. You know what I'm saying? And at some point, I think we have to realize that that was, it's a memory. You know, that those groups are memory.
So let me say this. I recently got a chance to see my boyfriend. He is my boyfriend in my mind. So, you know, nobody get excited when I say this. I have loved LL Cool J since he came out. And I got a chance to see him at his tour. And me and my girlfriend, I said, I'm going to act like I'm 13 or 14. She said, okay, Kim, it's fine. You can do that. When he came out, it was like we hadn't missed a beat. And then he brought out Common. He brought out Ice-T. Now, Ice-T is the actor on Law & Order, SVU. And he came out, and he didn't come out there, you know, like he was back in the day. But he came out there, he did his rap and all this and that, and I was like, wow. I said, he still has it. But you can see him on Law & Order every week. And he said that. He said, yeah, I know y'all see me on Law & Order. Some of y'all looking at me like, well, when did you make music? He said, y'all just don't know, but I'm about to show you. It was funny to see it. So for some, like I think for hip-hop artists, especially our classic hip-hop artists, they can do it because there's not a lot of movement. It's just more of the rapping. And if you can still do that, then you're good. But then I always, like, my son's music, I listen to him, I'm like, what are we listening to? Who is this? I said, in 20 years, these people, you're going to be like, who?
I know. They're going to be, they're going to stop singing that stuff after a while. I just don't think them singing some of that stuff when they're 70 years old, they ain't gonna be doing it.
It ain't gonna sound right.
No, it's not. They probably won't even be in that mental state where they, because they don't believe in that anymore. You know, they're gonna be mature, and they're gonna, some of them, I think they're even gonna say that they don't even want to sing that stuff no more. It's coming.
Right.
It's reckoning day is coming for this crowd.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I listen to some of that stuff because I have a 21-year-old, and I can tell you this: some of them it's going to be real awkward for them to say some of that stuff after a little while. Especially these female rappers.
I was just going to tap into that.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Michael, I was just finna tap into that. I listened to some of these lyrics, and I'll be like, I know she ain't gonna be singing that when she get, you know, trying to do a reunion show or a comeback show 20, 30 years from now, talking about what she talking about. They gonna look at her like, oh, ladies, you don't get off this stage, people gonna be like, oh,
I know.
You know, because you have to think about it. All this stuff that you sing, and now it's gonna be in the archives. Ain't nobody gonna be pumping that out.
Right.
You get on stage, myself, you know, like Shookie. She ain't gonna come out 20 years from not talking about what she's talking about. And this new girl, Sexy Red. I heard her song. I'm like, okay. Like, girl, will you be singing this when you 50, 55?
I want to see Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj when they're 65 years old. Let me see what you're going to sing about.
Listen.
You know, because somebody like Gladys Knight can go, they classy right now. That's classy.
Yes.
They
right.
can come out and do a classy show. You know, you can bring your family out and stuff. You know, I remember even like all of those singers from the past, you know, they have some great songs and they can still sing them.
Mm-hmm.
They can still sing them now and it's classy and you can sing the words to it and your family, you can take your family and, you know, it's great. But this stuff out now, I wish I could be around it. To see it when Megan Thee Stallion is 65 years old, 67.
Right.
And what they look like.
Their music is just sad.
Right.
It's sad music.
Right.
And what they look like.
I can't imagine her trying to you know, pounce and bounce like that. Like, girl, you're going to sit your ass over here and you're going to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do that anymore. But, you know, they don't think about the longevity of music anymore. And that's the difference in the music we grew up on and the music that our children and grandchildren are growing up on today. It is music that you cannot really go back to 20 years from now and put it out the archive because people's minds have elevated, things have evolved. Who in 20, 30 years from now is going to be even on that mindset? And then so now you really got to make all your money now because your music may go out of rotation.
Yep.
I don't see nobody putting a lot of that music on the radio 20 years from now. But like you said, the Gladys Knight, the Temptations, all these people, the Ohio Players, they have music you can listen for generation to generation from generation. That's music. This stuff they have now is really not music. It's, to me, it's just sound, you know, with beats and stuff. I will never go back if you know, if I'm around in my 70s or 80s and listen to some stuff like that. I'm going to be trying to find some music that's easy on the ears. The lyrics are, you know, they have some substance to it. I'm not going to be looking around, you know, trying to pull out my archives of stuff I hear now. I don't think my grandchildren will because, again, they're going to be elevating. They're going to always refer back to that old school classic music because it has meaning. It gives you something. This music now, yeah, you can go dance for now. If you're 20 years old, 18, 19, 20, you can dance, pounce, do all the little stuff they do, but in 30 years, you're not going to be able to do all that stuff. That music is going to go, it's going to go out of rotation, and they're going to always refer back to the Gladys Knight and the Whitney Houston and all of those, you know, sounds of that time. That music will forever be in rotation, and this is something I think a lot of these young artists don't understand. If the music you make can't make you money when you retire, you better make all your money that you can right now and invest it somewhere because no one's going to listen to that stuff.
Yep, that's. I think I was like, it seemed like Chris Brown always has a song out, and what they're trying to do. Because I remember Lil Wayne when he first came out, he was almost on everybody's song. He was collaborating with everybody. Every time a song hit the top 10, he was on one of them. And I realized, well, he's not now. He's not anymore, and that's why. Because they try to do it while the fire's hot. They try to do it at that time. But, you know, Diana Ross, you know, she's aged classically, gracefully. She can still do a classic concert, you know, and there's so many. But, you know, but, yeah, I want, you know, can you imagine Megan Thee Stallion at some point, 65 years old, with a cane walker coming out on stage and singing all that stuff? No, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's why they do it now. But, yeah. But that's just about, you know, time waits for no one. Every day is time moves forward. And people get older, things, you know, our cars get older, you know, it's just the way, you know, and that's, you know, I knew we were going to get spiritual in a minute, but, you know, this is a corrupt world. This world, you know, it's not going to be here forever. You know, this, everything around us, you know, iron, metal gets old and clothes get old you know, fade away. Our bodies get old, and that's why we have to, we have to, you know, really
take care of your body. You have to take care of it.
Take care of yourself and take care of your body, take care of yourself. And, you know, we use our bodies for, you know, it's here temporarily. And we're in our bodies temporarily. And at some point, it's, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It goes back.
Dust to dust.
Dust, you know. And I read this. At the funeral for my brother-in-law Friday, it came to me. They asked me, the family asked me to do a poem, and I can't just sit down and write one. It has to come to me. And it came to me Sunday night, around 3 or 4 in the morning. And this is what God told me. He said, And I wrote, I had to get up. I was sleeping, and it was in my mind, and I jumped up, which has happened before in the past. I've been taking a bath and had to get out the bathtub and get a notebook and start writing. That's how God gives me poetry. It's called You Don't Know. You don't know how big God is. He created what we call outer space, a grand display of his creativity. You don't even know how far the universe reaches. God created time. You don't even know when it began or how far time extends. His power and authority is so great. It's louder than the vivid lightning that crashes down the earth, splitting a tree in half, melting the spire of a courthouse in a small town. As angry as the deep rumble of thunder that rolls across the darkened sky, sometimes it causes you to tremble. As powerful as an ocean-bred storm that sends a towering wall of water that covers every building, every home. But God can also move as quiet as the current under the sea. Insert his presence in a room, somebody bigger sitting next to you and me. His quiet power and strength is on display today, right here, right now. You may not know how big God is right now, but we all will one day. You can't explain what we will go through. You just don't know. And then I ended it by saying that, and, you know, Randall Smith was there, and I could just, I didn't hear, because I was focusing on what I was reading, but I did let the audience know that I wasn't a Bible scholar and not a preacher or anything like that. And I could just hear you guys, you weren't there, but I could just hear you guys telling me, talking back to me, you know, telling me that, here we go again, he's not a Bible scholar, he's not a preacher. But I did say this, that I remember my Salvation Army parents sing this song, "Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout." I cannot believe it's 10:16 already.
Time has gone so fast.
Wow.
I was looking at it like, oh my God, it's after 10 o'clock.
I know.
Like,
we have
an amazing show
conversation. Yes. But Kimberly, I'm just going to shut up right now because I know you guys have a few things to say, and I'm just going to turn it over to you guys for the next few minutes. But Kimberly, I know you have something prepared for us today. I just want to, let me sit back and get out the way and let y'all talk.
So I wanted to share this inspirational story. It is about a 93-year-old man who summits Yosemite's Half Dome. And they call him stubborn as a mule. When you hit your 90s, you think, what would be some things I'd like to do? He told San Francisco Gate. I guess Half Dome was the thing that most popped into my mind. Half Dome, which is a monumental mass of granite in Yosemite Valley, is no place for faint of heart or knackered knees. For those with apposite fitness, it's a 14 to 16-hour endeavor that involves gaining and then losing over 4,000 feet in elevation. Toward the top, cables embedded in the rocks require upper body strength to pull oneself up steep inclines. Despite all that, Everett was determined and requisitioned the company of his son, John, who was 57, and his granddaughter, Sydney, who was 19, for the excursion. Training hard, Everett made ample use of the days leading up to the trek to walk up and down stairs and around Lake Mirror. Then the day of the hike, it came, and Everett admits that he probably underestimated the difficulty of beginning the half, with plenty of feet passed that he described as slick. John and Sydney helped him along every step of the way, even pushing on his backside during particularly vertical bits. It took the hikers, who decided to go steady until the middle of the second day, to summit Half Dome's pinnacle. All the while, people passing them on the trails marveled at the determination and spirit of the geriatric hiker. "He's stubborn as a mule. When he sets his mind to something, he's going to do it," John said, adding that when they got to the top, there were tears in everyone's eyes. It was like paparazzi. Everyone was taking videos and pictures. It was unreal. I'm choking up just talking about it now. The power of seeing him was so much joy and inspiration. They almost couldn't make the summit as the skies were winking with rain and thunder. But the weather held out for 3 days, enough for him to finish the whole trek. John spoke with several rangers along the route, and while some of them had seen some hikers complete half domes in their 80s, none of them had ever heard of one doing so in their 90s. Indeed, Everett might be the oldest. San Francisco reported that when Everett returned to his home in Oakland, he was absolutely buzzing, and neither was he sore nor too eager to find another adventure. Such was the excitement manifested by the half dome hike. So listen, if this man can do that, we can do all kinds of things. That's why I said to Missionary, you giving us joy being 95 and you are still up and doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. You know, have you noticed a theme this morning? It is about aging. It's about
and it fell in so
eloquently.
It just fell in place like that was the message this morning, like literally.
Yeah. And one of the things, the underlying themes too, is that have you noticed that we don't see, where are those ratchet singers from the past? They're not around because it's the Patti LaBelles that are out here still packing state events and theaters and stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
It's people like Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle. Those are the ones that are still out here, and that says something too. It says something too that. At a certain level, if you carry yourself in a professional, classy way, you will endure, even after all these years, and that's something that's great, okay. Kimberly. Henrietta,
I just want to say, you know, it has been an amazing show this morning. We have tapped in on some really interesting topics. And like you said, Mike, it all fell into the process of age and what do we do when we get to those levels of age.
Yeah.
How will our life and our footsteps be moving forward as we age up? Because that's important. When we're talking about uplifting generations, when we're talking about leaving legacies, when we talk about our name and our brand, how does that affect the generation after us moving forward? And if you are a person who put in the work, are you putting in the work for the right now, or are you putting in the work to leave legacies for others to follow? And when we look at some of the things that are going on in today's society, there are no legacies being left. Everything, the mentality right now for this generation and the generation after them is, I want it right now. And it shows. In the music, it shows in the filming, it shows in the way people are living and moving about in this world. They are eager to get there right now because they don't believe that they're going to age out. I've heard so many young people say, I don't think I'm going to live to be old, so I got to get mine right now. I hear it in the songs. I see it in the movies. I hear it in the conversation. And it's like you said, what's going to happen 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? Where will it all go? And guess what's going to happen? Just like the generations after us and after the generations after the generations now, they're going to always refer back to our generation because we have left legacies and we have left marks in this world that you can always refer back to. So the lesson that I learned today is, what are you going to do right now that's going to leave you a legacy as you age? How do you leave a footprint for the generations after you?
Yep.
Because the generations now are not leaving a footprint. They're leaving the right now, and that's where it's going to stay when it's all said and done. No one will ever refer back to this music ever again.
Wow. Man, that is powerful. That is great. That's a good question to anyone looking for the future to be successful. You got to think about it ahead of time, and that will guide you through.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question to think about for all of us to think about, not just people, not just artists, not just singers, performers, actors. You want to see what is your legacy going to be. That is so true. I just noticed also they just announced that Usher is performing the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
For 2024. I was thinking, what Usher, he's one of the few people out here. I remember Usher could fill a stadium. I remember, and think about the time Usher takes, steps back up to the plate. It's time for Usher to step back up. He's one of the few people that can pack a stadium with just himself. Male. I'm talking male. Black males right now. I don't know. Who else can do it right now? Black male that can fill a stadium. You know, maybe Jay-Z. Maybe
right.
Jay-Z.
I
think that's about it. I'm talking about to fill.
I think Tank can probably do it. I don't know if he can do it as well as Usher, but I think Tank can probably fill an audience.
I don't think he can do Ford Field. I think it's Usher and maybe Neo, possibly. I don't know, but you see, it's not that many. Yeah, no, it's really
and
not that
keep
many.
Keep in mind,
anymore.
Usher has a residency show in Las Vegas. It's been very, very successful.
Yeah, but you know Usher, because I remember going to. I forgot where it was, but Usher could fill a stadium. He can do it.
Yes, he can.
So I'm glad that should be a good show. Look, we had a very entertaining. We covered a bunch of topics today. I'm telling you,
we did.
When people listen to this show, and I want to thank those who are listening now. I know we got about 4 minutes because I set it for an hour and a half today, so we got 4 minutes left. But I want to thank all of you for listening, whether it's on the phone, whether it's online, blogtalkradio.com. Thanks for listening. If you we do this show live Sunday mornings, but I know a lot of people listen to it after the fact. That's why I started, if you all notice, I started putting the link on so you can go right to it. You just click on the link and it takes you right to the show. So I want to thank all of you for listening, those around the country, those around the world. We do have a number of listeners across the world. I check it out every now and then, in Europe and Australia, Canada, Germany. Thank you for listening to the show. And this world-famous Sunday morning team, thank you guys. And we've got more that weren't on the line, but, Christy Laster Andrews, Bishop Kathy, Chaplain Kathy, of course, Missionary Humphrey was with us today, but Kimberly Batchelor Davis and Henrietta Ivy right here live. Of course, Minister Randall Smith was on earlier too, and of course, the great legend herself, Missionary Hattie Humphrey. So I just want you guys to have a great day today. Thanks, Kimberly, for giving us this great, great day. Really a great weekend here in Detroit.
Yes.
The weather has been great.
Absolutely.
I am headed to church trying to be good. I'm trying to do good and trying to live right. I am headed to church today, and I might try to get to the Detroit Auto Show later today, too. So have a great day. God bless you.
Have a great day.
And
God bless
enjoy
everybody.
Your day and enjoy your families today.
Absolutely.
Have a great day. God bless.
Okay.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Real Estate. Call 331-248-7120. Today's program was produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, experts in small business support services. Call 248-516-8300 to start your business today. The Michael Van Tool Show can be heard every Sunday morning at 7:30 on the Detroit Praise Network. Thank you for listening.
Everything is gonna be. You'll ever need.
Right.
Just when you think it ain't, it's gonna be.
Right. And now a message from jazz poet Michael Van Tool.
Hi, my name is Michael Van Tool. Let's talk for a minute. I believe in Detroit. I spent 32 years as your neighborhood banker. but now I form Michigan Ocean Strategy Group to bring three affordable business services directly to you. Number one, radio advertising and production services. Number two, customized business services and workshops. And number three, political and public relations. So call me and share your vision. My office number is 248-516-8300. But look, I can't do any of this business stuff without shining a light on our community. It's who I am. It's a part of me. There are people who desperately need our help. And there are people who work hard every day. And there are volunteers who provide resources and opportunities to those in need. You see, I believe in our community. I believe in you. And we can believe in each other. We are one, one community, one neighborhood, one city. Let's live and work together. My name is Michael Van Tool. We are all one Detroit.
If you would like to share your vision for Detroit with Michael Van Tool, call 248-516-8300.